Sean Aquiline here, and in the studio with me is Counselor Gary Souls and David Rooney from the Revelstoke Current, who is going to be conducting an interview with our counselor.
Thank you, Sean. Gary, you're a first-time counselor, and you came on the council this last year expecting to help guide the city, in part, to be a pro-development counselor. Is that correct?
That is correct.
You and the other counselors have recently dealt with a fairly controversial issue, that being the proposal to build a mini mall at the junction of the Trans-Canada and Highway 23 North. That proved to be pretty controversial and, in fact, had a somewhat traumatic effect in our community. You initially supported the zoning amendment for that a couple months ago.
That's correct, I did.
Why did you support it at that time?
Well, I think the information that I was given at that time was this was something the community wanted. Despite the number of people that turned out in council chambers on the day of the vote, for every one of those people, there was probably 25 or 50 more that had already come to me saying, we want this. So I looked at it and said, you know what? What's the downside? This is all a positive thing. Let's put it through. So that was my decision at the time.
I'm not surprised. I had pretty similar experience. A lot of people contacted me to tell me that they liked the idea. They wanted the mall, in particular, another supermarket, allegedly, and a third pharmacy. And those two elements of the mall really were the core of the controversy that erupted afterwards. Did the public reaction to this project surprise you?
I was surprised at the negative reaction, I'm going to say, from the no side. And one of the first things that I noted and really frustrated me was the papering of the windows downtown. In fact, I didn't see the relevance of doing that sort of thing. I understood where the people were coming from. I grasped that they were trying to show us, and in particular me, that if you guys put this through, this is what's going to happen. With us having to rescind the third reading because of some difficulties there and then redoing it, it was a way of people engaging, of getting their point across.
I'd like to digress for just a second and then go back to the reasons for rescinding the third reading the first time. Were you approached by citizens afterwards?
I was approached by citizens afterwards. And more importantly, we continued to receive unsolicited emails from people who just wanted to get their perspective across. And I don't think they realized what was happening by continuing to do that. That indeed, if we responded to those emails or opened those emails, then we were contravening what is in government legislation about not allowing us to accept further information while things were still going before the government to do the final reading.
You mentioned the papering of windows on shops downtown, and that was a sign of protest by many downtown merchants. The papering of their windows symbolized their future closure. It was dramatic, a sign that downtown merchants were very well organized for this. They started a group called Revelstoke Citizens for Responsible Development, purchased a lot of advertising on and offline, set up a website. They had a petition that garnered 700 odd signatures, not all of them from here, mind you. They lobbied City Hall. Given the fact that these were all people who claimed were in favor of development and investment, were you surprised at that?
Yeah, I was really surprised. I wasn't expecting that sort of negative reaction to something that seemed to be a positive for the community. So I think it set me back a bit. You know, where do we go from here? What do we do?
Now, you mentioned that you were approached by a lot of people who wanted the mall. What happened to them at that last public hearing? I mean, the community center was packed. There were probably about 300 people there in attendance. When you asked people to raise their hands if they were in favor of development of the mall, there was barely a sprinkling of hands that were raised. And yet, when you asked who was against it, it was obvious that almost everybody in that room did not want the mall to proceed. And yet, you had the impression going into the meeting, and as I had the impression, that there was a substantial amount of number of people in town who wanted it. Why didn't they show up? Do you have any thoughts on that?
For the most part, there were some that changed their minds, but there was definitely a great number that still wanted it. I received some incredible emails, and some people put their heart on the sleeve and stepped out of their comfort zone by indicating that, yes, I want this, and this is my reasoning for this. So some people had sent me emails, and those who did, and I requested to forward those for the public information process. And they felt by doing that, that was enough. In retrospect, maybe it wasn't, maybe it was. Their message had been received. It definitely had been received by me loud and clear that they had wanted that. But it seemed to be, as we went into this meeting and in the emails and all the stuff that was sent to City Hall, predominantly those who did not want to see this particular project go forward were the ones that were speaking out. And they were saying, you know, we don't want this, and here's our reasons. I'm hearing now from those who wanted this project to go through, said, hey, you know, some of us work and some of us do this and some, you know, weren't able to come and that sort of thing. That's all well and fine. And that's part of the whole process, is either you're able to show up or you're not able to show up, or you're able to verbalize what you want, or you have someone speak on your behalf or whatever. You know, we saw some of those, but it was on the side of no that had prepared for that. The people that thought this was going to go through felt that it was just a shoe-in because of the decisions that were made in the previous public hearing and third reading vote.
That's amazing. I find it hard to believe that people would actually come to that conclusion.
I can't speak for others, no. David. I look at the whole thing, and now as those people are coming to me and they're being very loud and clear and telling me in no uncertain words that, you know, you made a mistake, and I'm going, well, it's done now. So if you want to hear what I have to say about it, fine. If you want to rant, I'll listen. So I've been put in that situation a few times. People just went on and they verbalized things, and it's more about getting their opinions out versus asking me mine.
And were these people who could have been at the meeting or were at the meeting? Or
some definitely were there, and I can confirm I saw them, and some weren't. I had a lady that I saw on a weekend in some of the festivities that were going on, and she had definitely voted for it, and she had done what I'd asked. She'd written a letter, she'd given me her perspective, her reasoning, and now was feeling the wrath of some of her family or some of the other people who had decided that no was the issue. And she was really upset, and not so much upset that she spoke up, but upset that she was being treated this way. I listened and I thanked her for stepping out, for actually coming forward and giving us some reasons for a pro side. I really appreciate that, because she actually went out of her way to say, hey, this is the reason that we want this. This is what I'm saying as a community. And you know what? She's right. She had every positive spin on it that you could look at, and I was quite proud of her for doing so.
We'll get to the split in the trauma that some people have suffered with regards to this. Can you explain to us what convinced you to vote against the zoning amendment?
Well, I had gone through several meetings with community members over the past several weeks, some pro, some not. So I'd listened to everything. And I had made the decision to actually do what I thought we were supposed to be doing in a public hearing, and that was to make our final decision after hearing the public at that meeting. I went into that meeting sitting on the fence, and I'd been sitting on the fence for so long I was starting to get impressions in my butt from that fence. My wife had challenged me at one point and said, you've already made up your mind. And I said, no, I haven't. No, you haven't. And we went through some scenarios, and she understood after we'd gone through those that I really hadn't made up my mind, that I really was sitting on the fence. So when I went into that meeting and made the decision that I would wait until the very end of the night before I actually made my vote. And I had had a meeting in the morning with some staff and with the mayor, and I'd understand all the positive things that this would bring to the community. I was very much aware and made aware of the positive things that would come out of this. So I thought, we'll just see how the night goes. If people are as positive as I'm hearing, they're going to come and they're going to show up and they're going to give their opinions again publicly. If they're not, they won't be there. They were not there. Probably 72% that spoke that were not for this project. So I listened to everything. First of all, the proponent got up and spoke and thanked the community for the opportunity to bring this, was willing to listen to the community and what we wanted. Then everybody in the hall that wanted to speak had a chance to speak. And then the proponent stood up again at the end. He had actually thanked the community for his time here, and that this would be a great project to go ahead. And I thought at that point, he didn't hear what anyone had to say. He wasn't listening. And if he wasn't listening, he would have come prepared to say, listen, I've heard what you said. I've heard what you've said in previous weeks. We're willing to work with you. But he didn't say that. So at that point, I was pretty sure my mind was made up. But I'm going to just digress a bit, because just prior to that, I had asked the community or the people in the room to raise their hands 3 times. I asked for those who were in favor to raise their hands, those who were not in favor to raise their hands, and those who were in favor of some sort of development on this property to raise their hands. And when they raised their hands for development, it was almost unanimous. Everyone in the room was raising their hands. So I knew in my heart that was a good chance that people didn't want this project, but they still wanted some development. And then when we go back to what I didn't hear from the proponent putting this forward, my decision was made at that moment. I was not going to support this, because I feel if we would have supported this, we would have put everything through. And once I'm giving him the keys to the castle, he would have done what he wanted to do without consultation with the community. And that solely went against everything that I stood for. Now I'm going to back up again as well. And when you're sitting on a panel at the front and you're looking out into the community and you see a smattering of business people that you deal with every day, and these business people had made it quite clear to me that we want progress, we want something to go on that property, we just don't want this. How could I look at them and say there's 300 people in this room, 280 of these people don't want this project to go through, but I'm going to jam it down your throat and you're going to like it? I'm not that type of person. So I basically said, no, we're not going to put this through. And that stopped the project. It was a complete shock to all four of my colleagues sitting on the stage with me, and a complete shock to my wife, to the family. My wife also knew that I spoke from my heart.
You did what you believed you had to do, and congratulate you for that. But you've paid a price for this.
Yes.
Both before and after the vote.
Yep. My wife and I had gone into some local merchants after the first go-around with this, and there were some people that weren't unhappy and made that quite clear. Probably didn't really appreciate me spending money in their store, and was very calm and just walked out, and was very cautious about which stores I would go into after that, just because there's one or two in the community that don't know how to deal with their emotions doesn't mean that the entire community is painted that way. Felt quite comfortable in going to the other stores that were quite happy to have me purchase product and help support their lifestyle.
Hall Pacific has, of course, pulled out of town completely. They're not going to go ahead with this project in any way, shape, or form, despite the fact that they told the community clearly at the beginning that they would not build something the community did not want, which most people, myself included, they wanted to build the mall. They didn't hang around. How do you feel about that?
I'm disappointed. My feeling was if they stuck around and said that they were willing to adapt their plans, I would have been wrong, and they did indeed hear the community. If they did as I expected them to, and they have, clearly they didn't hear the community and they were just going to leave. I have a little bit of experience with developers. I have one business partner who's been a developer for years. And two things that I've learned over the years is that sometimes councils don't put things through that developers want. And developers will ask for whatever it is that they want and hope for the best. Those developers who are true to the community and actually want to stay will come up with an alternative while they're standing there. They would have come prepared and had in hand, here's our alternative. What do you think about this? Is there some way we can work this out? This company didn't come with an alternative, and to me, that basically said, we're out.
You know, we've talked about council being elected in part to promote economic growth. Then this project was vehemently opposed by many people in town who also claimed to favor development and investment. Where does this leave City Council?
It leaves us with a lot of work. I've been having meetings with people in the community who want to see a project go ahead. I'm going to continue to work with people who actually have positive ideas, the wherewithal to put together a project that's made in Revelstoke. Now that we have the public engaged, that we carry on. We can't sit on our laurels and say, okay, well, we stopped this project. And for those on the no side who've sat back and have been gloating, saying, well, we stopped this project, that's great. I challenge all of those people to come forward. And I made that challenge not only at the public hearing, but in the meetings that I met with people prior to the public hearing, saying two things. I had two questions for them was, first of all, how can we make this project work? And secondly, if this project will not work, what are our alternatives? Don't come to me just saying no. Come to me with some options. let's put those on the table and see where we go from here. So I think we're at that point now, David, where we're going to go forward. We're going to have some incredible ideas come out of this group who said no to this project. I'm confident that we're actually able to put together a project that not only will Mr. Platt be comfortable with on his property, but that the community will say, hey, awesome, let's go forward. We need this. We need that tax base. We need some development. We need to go forward. And now's the time for those who said no to put their money where their mouth is. Let's put this project together.
Can you give us an idea of what kind of project we're talking about here?
At this point in time, I can't, because I haven't had some specific ideas come forward. I've just had this group of people saying, we're going to work with you and we're going to put this together. I don't want to say too much more about that or who the principal's in this until I know that we've got something put together and they're comfortable in coming forward and letting the community know that we're working on this as a group.
Fair enough. This is a major deal for us. I mean, we need the investment and we need new people. The next census is next year. I fully expect it's going to show us below 7,000 people.
And I won't disagree with that. We need this. As I stated in the public hearing, if we don't have the tax base, we're not going to be able to keep up the level of service that we enjoy now. So we need to have some development. So it's not that this property, that they will never be developed. It needs to be developed and it needs to be done soon. And my challenge to the community is I've got 3 years left. I want to see some progress on this. In fact, I would love to see some things completed in that 3-year period. Let's do this, and we will.
Do you think we need an economic development strategy?
Well, we might need to update what we've, so many hours of work have been put in there. I've actually had residents bring that up to me, that we need to update some of the stuff and to update the retail strategy and to update maybe the OCP and the community plan. So we need to look at those as a whole and go forward. And we're going to start in the Economic Development Committee, see if there's some appetite to make some changes going forward.
All right. Gary Souls, thank you very much.
Thanks, David. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.